You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of April 13th, 2016, and a podcast all about Japan? Kawaii not!
Oh, God. That's terrible. Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name is Scott Juster.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And I just flew in from Japan.
Woo!
And boy, are my arms tired of puns.
Through the magic of editing, we're going to let you in on a little secret. George has actually been gone for 2 weeks.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Little did everyone know.
Man, it sounds like that last week podcast. We're really behind by exactly 1 week. So I just got back from Japan, and Japan is...
A little vacay.
Japan has been like a cultural icon in games for many years, both because they are a source of so many of the video games we know and love, as well as because of the fact that they are often the source of some of the games we love. Japanese culture has found its way into a lot of our video games.
We know more about Japanese culture probably because of video games than because of being responsible world citizens.
Oh, yeah. Almost certainly.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to talk a little bit to sort of debrief my visit to Japan.
Yeah. The land of video games.
Not necessarily because I went to like the coolest like video game places in Akihabara or whatever, but because I think that there's something uniquely strange about being in a place when you're bringing with it all these cultural assumptions about video games. So I thought it would be a fun conversation to have, as well as a general conversation about how cultures appear in games, period.
Because
I think that's an interesting subject. I brought a couple of gifts I wanted to share with you.
Okay, this is through the magic of podcasting.
When I was in Japan, I was like, what should I bring Scott? I want to bring up something really weird and weeboo. So I brought you Mochi. But also, on one of my last days, I'm walking through one of the numerous malls beneath the train stations. Malls are everywhere. Like everybody in Tokyo is constantly buying shit for some reason. And I found a store that was dedicated to Yo-Kai Watch.
Yes.
So not only I have this cool little bag.
Oh, that's the cat guy from Yo-Kai Watch.
Yeah, and I also I bought two face masks that have Yo-Kai Watch characters on them.
Yes.
Those aren't for you. Those are for my niece and nephew, and I didn't bring them. I got you this postcard.
Oh.
So it's the Yo-Kai Watch cat.
There he is.
Who looks like he's a cowboy. And the best, my favorite gift of all.
It's like a little warrior.
My favorite gift of all, Yo-Kai Watch toilet paper. That says Whisper on it. And I'm pretty sure, do you mind if I open this?
Oh, let's open it.
So I'm pretty sure.
Try it out right now.
I'm pretty sure the Yo-Kai Watch is, it's printed. That's right. It's printed on the toilet paper itself.
On the toilet paper.
So now you can wipe your ass with Yo-Kai Watch.
Oh, man.
Which I know you've been meaning to do since you started playing that game.
Oh, man. God, this is great. I can play Yo-Kai Watch while taking a shit.
Exactly right.
Never have to break immersion.
Some spooky ghost just came out of me. I don't know what the deal is.
Oh, my God.
You got to crap them all, Scott.
God, this is great.
Gotta crap them all.
Man.
So besides the Yo-Kai Watch stuff, what do you want to talk about?
Sorry, I'm smelling this. Hold on.
Is it scented?
No, I don't think it's two-ply?
It's single ply. It's two-ply.
It's too thin ply.
It's too thin
ply.
Well, I think it's because in Japan, most of the toilets have like a spray. So they just spray your butt and you don't need as thick of toilet paper, I presume.
Were there any Yo-Kai Watch bidets?
I did not see any. I'm sure they exist.
There could be a Yo-Kai that's the point. Yo-Kai hide in like inanimate objects.
Oh, is that really what they do?
Yeah.
No, I'm sure
there could have been
yokai.
A Yo-Kai in a bidet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There still could be. I haven't finished that game yet.
Yep.
Growing up, you and I both grew up in the time when Japan ruled video games.
Oh, yeah. And to be fair, Japan also ruled in the early 90s.
Right. Economically.
They
freaking bought the Seattle Mariners.
Right. And as a result, they weaved their way into sci-fi.
Yes.
So a lot of sci-fi of the late 80s, early 90s had a future where it was very inspired by Japan.
Mm-hmm.
People were speaking Japanese, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That shifted as China became an economic power and then things like Firefly and whatnot. But when we were kids and playing a lot of these video games, you're right. Like Japan was the sort of imaginary place where like technology came from.
Yep. That's true. And even not just video games, you're right. It's technology. It's like they were the ones that like you can buy shit on your cell phone in Japan. You know, yeah. Like even like, I mean, that was just like, you know, that seemed like futuristic to us. And so like growing up, I have never been to Japan, but I've always wanted to visit because mm-hmm. of that exact thing. It's like, I wonder what Japan will hold up like compared to like 7-year-old me's vision of yes. how this place yeah. is.
Well, know? I mentioned this on Twitter too. I've been wanting to go to Japan since I first watched an episode of Sesame Street where Big Bird flew to Japan.
Shit.
And I remember I cried when Big Bird had to leave because all of his friends were going to miss him. And it seemed like such a cool place. I have to say, besides the incessant sound of cicadas, which unfortunately weren't happening Ooh. At the time while I was in Japan.
Yeah.
It basically matches exactly what I expect Japan to be, which is to say like...
Wait, hold on. Let me see your fingers. You still have your pinky everything?
I do, okay, yeah. Right. Which is to say that it's really strange to be in a place that is both foreign and in a weird way familiar without ever having been there. Especially one of the things that I first noticed, and maybe this is because of like a lot of the anime that I watched, so like Neon Genesis or Serial Experiments Lane in particular. I don't know if you've ever seen that anime.
Yeah.
The telephone wires and the power wires are really recognizably Japanese.
In every little like kind of suburbish type neighborhood, you have those like very like iconic, tall but skinny, like
and there's so many wires and it looks kind of unkempt and they're like wrapped around each other. There's like a so jumble weird. Of wires, and so that was one of the first like iconic things, and I'm like, whoa, that's kind of weird. And then one of the other things as I was walking around was just sort of the narrow streets and the little alleyways and the tiny little shops that might appear on those streets. There were times where it was like, oh, I've been here, right? Mm-hmm. Or another good example, too, and people talk about the vending machines in Japan all of the time. Mm-hmm. It's not an understatement. There are fucking vending machines everywhere. And I'm super curious about what the zoning laws are for that.
Yeah. Because
we would find vending machines in just random, like, residential areas.
It's just like a free-for-all.
Who owns that vending? Who owns that? Like, do you... Just some guy, like, in apartment B is like, oh, yeah, I'm getting, like, all that sweet change from people getting their coffees and stuff. I don't know who does that. Who owns that?
Yeah.
But...
Someone who likes giving out coffee and capsule toys.
Exactly, yeah. But I distinctly remember in Persona 4, there are two vending machines that you're constantly getting your beverages... Because it's the only place to find things that renew your mana.
Yep.
So, like, that was kind of fun to see, because if you remember, the vending machine in Persona, the two vending machines appear at the end of the street, right next to, like, empty storefronts you're never going to use, right?
Yeah, you're never going to go in there.
It's a weirdly placed. It's not right by the market. So, it makes perfect sense from my experience of vending machines in Japan. And then, of course, there's the capsule machine in Persona 4, which doesn't exist everywhere, but is recognizable, and you do see it, like, occasional, you know, thrift stores and stuff.
Man, so strange. I was thinking about Persona a lot because that's like probably the most, like in video games, it's always either like filtered through a lens or like it's during some kind of crisis, like there's actually a giant robot attacking or something.
Yeah.
Whereas like Persona was like probably the closest thing that I've ever like, oh, this is probably closest to how a weird high school or suburb or something would kind of feel.
Totally. You know? And again, like I think that's pretty true. And I wasn't staying with, but I hung out quite a bit with a friend of mine who's currently living in Japan. He's fluent in Japanese. He's in a PhD program, but he's also had taught for many years at Japanese schools teaching English. And so we talked a little bit.
Social links must be off the hook.
Off the wall. Yeah, off the wall. We talked a little bit about like the cultural differences at school and stuff. And I kept, he hasn't played Persona 4, but I kept being like, that's just like in Persona 4.
He needs to play Persona 4.
Well, so one example is like the importance of clubs, right? So in a lot of the schools that are my understanding is you pick a club and all of your friends are through that club in university, in high school, junior school.
Yeah.
And you only pick one club because you don't really have time for more than one.
Right.
And you do that incessantly. And there were days where I just saw like roving bands of school kids clearly all going to a club.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was archery because they had huge like arrow bags or whatever. Other times it was like soccer or like different sports. At one point, we go into an art gallery and there's a photo collage of a woman who had taken pictures of her daughter every day for like 12 years going to school. And you can see each summer or each year the different club that she's going to. So it was like archery and then there's like tennis down there.
like roving bands of clubs.
Yeah.
Like themed by what they're carrying.
But the way that, like, the way that in Persona you're interacting, and not just Persona, but like countless other JRPGs that are set in schools, you really do define a lot of your friends around that sport or that club. And in a weird way, you sort of define your friends in Persona 4 around the club of people who go kill demons in the second Nether realm. But it's interesting to think about how friends groups in games that are inspired from Japan carry with it that that way that you hang out with your friends. It's different from the way that you might meet or encounter friends here, which, you know, can be from a lot of different interests and backgrounds and different ways of meeting, right?
Did Adam mention anything about, like, because we always talk about here in, like, American kids, like, their tastes are changing when it comes to video games.
Yeah.
Like, social games are way more of a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, kind of Call of Duty for a lot of kids is kind of like, oh, that's like a weird old man game now.
Yes.
Like, did he say anything about, like,
what kids are playing these
days?
Yeah,
like, what his kids, like, kind of, you know, are into, like, what they talk about and stuff?
He mentioned there's still a lot of people playing mobile games. Mm. And you could see it on the train. Like, there's tons of people playing Puzzle and Dragons and stuff.
Did you see, like, you know, Gree logos everywhere? And, like,
there were some Gree logos. Yeah. I did go to Akihabara, which is, like, basically the sort of geek center of Tokyo.
Just to sit on that, like, NES cartridge throne,
just
right?
Yeah, exactly. Just to, like, be there and roll myself along, like, nerds and stuff. There are still, like, arcades, which are crazy.
Plus, people are smoking up a storm in them, I imagine.
Yeah, quite a bit of smoking. Yeah. I actually, I went to Kyoto as well, which is another really big city. Yeah. And I was kind of surprised by the level of, like, arcades being played even there.
Yeah.
It's interesting, the survival of arcades in Japan is clearly so built off of the infrastructure that they have of connectivity between systems. So I spent a lot of time, like, watching people play fighting games, and they have these, like, ID
cards.
Cards that that identify you,
and
you can play against other people in the room. We even played this game where it was basically like mech assault. So we, like, go inside a huge pod with, like, three screens on the wall to completely surround you, and play with other people in that game as well, which was kind of a cool experience.
Nice.
I did bring my 3DS to get those sweet street passes.
International street passes.
Yeah, so I thought it might be fun to, like, go through here real quick and see
what we got.
What people were playing on their 3DSs.
Yeah.
One thing I did note that I thought was kind of cool, not just the sheer number, which was a lot, like, I passed probably 275 people over the past couple weeks, which is... Given I'm traveling a lot or on the subway a lot, but way more than I would normally carry here.
I mean, that's months worth of work in the Bay Area.
So I had probably about 100 or so me characters, and now I have 383. So quite a few people.
Holy crap.
A lot of women bringing their 3DSs, which I thought was pretty cool.
Interesting.
Not something I guess I entirely expected.
So this is getting into, like, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but did you notice what they were playing?
No, I never actually saw anyone playing anything.
They
were
just holding them.
I presume they were holding them.
For those street
there
passes.
There were times where literally I'm looking at my street passes.
Yeah.
And then I get a notification that's like, go to the plaza. Yeah. Someone else is here.
Oh, you look around?
Like, I looked around and I'm like, oh, it's clearly that four-year-old. Because there were, like, train cars were relatively empty. And then there was a little kid.
Yeah.
And the little kid looked like they're me. And I want, you know, there's a moment where you're tempted to go up to them and be like, hey, kid, you and me, buddy. You don't do that in any country, especially
Japan. But I mean, maybe
Japan.
In Japan you would have been like the kind of, like, cool gaijin that was like, hey, this weirdo came up to
me. I guess.
Like, yeah. Like,
System settings, still hugely popular. there was a lot of Yo-Kai Watch, a lot of Monster Hunter.
Yeah, that's like the franchise. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, Sony and Nintendo fight over trying to get that
thing. Monster Hunter, Yo-Kai Watch. There was some Pokemon Mumbo Jumbo stuff, some Zelda stuff. And then there were just a ton of games that I don't think made it to the States.
I wonder what type of games they are.
Let's see if I can click on one. I don't think I can see.
Can, like, go into it to see what they've been playing.
Oh, yeah. So here's one. It says something and then wars. And it looks like there's, like, a samurai robot. I don't know what that game is. I don't know what that game is. Here's another one. Let's see what this one's playing.
Yeah.
Something in Japanese. It looks like it's got a picture of a dog. I don't know what that is. Some Professor Layton's are in here.
Oh, Professor Layton's, okay.
More Yo-Kai Watch, more Monster Hunter.
Sorry, man, Yo-Kai
some
Watch
Bravely
is super
Default,
popular
you got
over there.
Up here. I was also not surprised, but a good number of them are also travelers, like other tourists.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if people like myself, well, they must because I did it.
They
people
bring
go
it?
To Japan yeah. and bring it intentionally knowing that like, oh, I'm going to get those sweet, sweet like, street passes.
Oh man, I only have a few puzzle pieces left. I must they go must, to Japan right? to like.
They must. Some Phoenix Wright. What is this one? Scribblenauts? Denpa Ninjin RPG free.
I wonder if there is a bigger presence of the free-to-play stuff over there. Since, you know, places like Gree are, you know, they have a bigger presence.
Do they have free-to-play 3DS games?
They have started that on Nintendo. They call them, like, that's what the...
Miitomo? Which I downloaded, by the way, and I still don't understand.
I am halfway sure that that thing is just a free market research app for them.
Yeah.
Because it basically asks you weird questions around, like, what's your favorite TV show?
Yeah, like what game are you playing?
Yeah, what kinds of cereal do you like? And it's like,
have you pre-ordered a game in the last 1 to 29 days?
Please click on your age range.
I mean,
they've started doing that, like the Puzzles and Dragons stuff and like the Nintendo Puzzles and Dragons and Mario stuff. Like they're calling it like free to start.
Oh, interesting.
So like Nintendo is starting to get into that. So I wonder if that is.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I mean, there was a good amount of people playing like mobile games on the BART or on the BART on the. Yeah. On the trains and stuff. So, if there's a 3DS downloadable free-to-play game, I could see that being successful.
See any PSP over there? Or, sorry, Vita?
I didn't see anybody playing the Vita. I saw it being sold. I also saw being sold amiibos that I have not seen, and I bought them.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I bought a Pikachu amiibo, which imported I think you could probably amiibo. Get here. Yeah.
But is it, like, a different edition? Like, you know, Pikachu with a party hat or something?
Yeah, it's in Japanese. Yeah. And then I bought a Wii Fit trainer, which good luck trying to find stateside.
That is true. And I mean, I think it's true that you can actually get the RFID signal through the package. So okay. you can good. Keep that.
I'm going to keep it. Well, they had boxes and boxes. And I just remember laughing. Like, this is silly. Like, they have so many amiibos here. And they're so hard to find in the States.
It's a distribution problem, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It was bizarre.
So no Vita or not so much Vita.
Not so much Vitas.
What do people have? Do people have iPhones, Androids? Like, what did you see out on the streets?
Well, Sony still makes phones in Japan
that
are widely used. So I did see some Sony devices and then a lot of Samsung devices.
Mm.
Seem to be the overwhelming majority. Yeah. I did see like an Apple store and a couple people with iPhones as well. So I don't really know what the install base is for mobile devices there. But, you know, everybody has them, of course. Everyone's
I mean, they had what we would consider smartphones before the iPhone was a thing. So I guess it might... be harder to catch on.
I'd really be curious to see how the rise of smartphones has eaten Nintendo's handheld console sales in Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're still hugely successful, as you know, by how many people I street passed.
Right.
But it must, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it must.
I mean, yeah. It's hard to imagine that there's a. It's hard to imagine there's no sense of, like, zero sum to that.
Yeah.
Because people only have so much time.
Well, I mean, there's a fucking Yo-Kai Watch store, right? So clearly that exists.
They're doing okay. But Yo-Kai Watch is, like, Yo-Kai Watch is the classic, like, transmedia trap of, like, the kids buy the little figurines and then buy the other, you know, the stickers. And,
I mean, it must be a lot of that. And when I was in Akihabara, I expected to see much more presence of, like, game culture expression. But outside of the arcades, like a lot of the figures and the weird, like, you know, hentai bath towels or whatever the fuck were being sold in those stores, a lot of it was anime focused and not game focused.
Interesting.
I don't know if I was just in a different area or maybe I missed the right store, but it still seemed heavily that way. I did go into a couple of retro game stores.
I was just going to ask about that. So these are like the old.
Which is really cool. Like, it's not just.
They're
cool.
Big, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the Super Potato. I think
yeah, that's like the famous one.
The famous one is quite large. It's like three floors and it's a pretty narrow building. But it's sizable. There's a lot of games, and they're not the only one.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, like, Dreamcast. I was really tempted. They were selling a Dreamcast controller in a box that had all of the anthropomorphic art, you know, where they made, like, a Japanese anime girl who looked like the deity of the Dreamcast controller itself. You know what I mean? Like, they anthropomorphized the controller. So they took a controller and made it human-like.
Oh, yes, my fetish.
Yeah, so basically that. Tempted to buy that. A lot of really old titles, some of which I'd never seen before. Some things I recognized as only Japan.
Did you see a certain...
Dead or Alive.
did you see a certain era well represented? Like, was this a kind of TurboGrafx thing?
Everything.
Was this
everything, yeah. Okay. Like, really old stuff.
Man.
I was really tempted... I still regret it. I probably should have done it. There was a section of old strategy guides, which I thought were really cool. So I almost bought a Mother 2 strategy guide, which just looked fucking just gorgeous in that like bright red. A lot of like Mother 2 cartridges.
Yeah.
Which would be pretty sweet to have.
Yeah.
I was looking for like all sorts. I was really hopeful I could find like a Chrono Trigger strategy guide. I couldn't find one, but I think that would have been really cool to have. Because some of the artwork on those strategy guides is just gorgeous. And it's something that probably never made it to the States. Or if it did, like you're just not going to find it.
It's just harder to find. I remember like the old like Nintendo Power strategy guides for like Final Fantasy 3/6 had the artwork, the old Final Fantasy artwork, like before people had a bunch of buckles all over themselves, the kind of like watercolor, you know, like, or like the Chrono Trigger stuff, like the Toriyama stuff that stuff's super cool.
And they even had like old PS2 games and stuff. I found a Japanese version of Ico for $20. I almost bought that.
That had the nicer artwork too,
It had it had the original almost like Picasso style. Yes. Artwork,
not like the fucked up like CG boy thing, like on the American version.
Yeah, the American artwork is so bad. I don't know what it is, like, but I feel like Japanese box art, besides the like ludicrous depiction of women, for the most part, is really cool. I wish I could get my hand on some of that stuff.
Did you ever see how they compared the Kirby box art? In America, Kirby is always mean looking, and in Japan, Kirby's always like happy.
Super nice.
Yeah, like, so Kirby's always frowning in American box art, and Kirby's always happy.
I think that's what
Japanese
they think about
art.
Us. Yeah. I think they're like, man, those people are angry all the time. I didn't end up buying it because I don't think it's backwards compatible, right? All that stuff is region locked, is my understanding. Even DS games, I think.
I don't think it was until like the PS3 that they unlocked most of that stuff. Yeah.
Either way, I mean, if you ever want to go buy like retro stuff, I mean, tickets to Japan are kind of expensive, but if you can make your way to Tokyo, they had a ton of cool stuff. It was really neat to sort of see that on display. And not just that, but they were crowded stores, and not just tourists. Like, there were people clearly there from Japan who were just looking for old titles. And I don't know if they were playing them or if they were just shopping as collectors, but it was really cool to see it on display in a way that you kind of have to... You have to go to museums for it here. Oakland has a museum that opened recently that is a like arcade history retro games museum that lets you play those games.
Yeah.
But that feels a little bit more like a museum.
And it's a curated experience rather than a storefront.
Yeah, you can't buy anything, right? You can play a huge number of titles at that location, but you're gonna have to ask an attendant to go and insert the game for you in the old Famicom system.
Did they... when you went in the stores, did you get the sense that they wanted to like cater, like they wanted to shepherd you to a certain section, or did they ask you things?
Not
like,
at all. No, nobody
it was
talks
just, like,
to you.
Nothing. It was
they
like
just say hello, welcome, and then you're on your own. Yeah.
Man, that's interesting.
That's where
too.
I just like, point at the amiibos and I go like this. I just please, wave my hands in the air, please.
I just asked them in broken Japanese, how many of these coins
I tried to ask a guy, like, because they had Yarn Yoshis, which you can get here, but I said, do you have a pink Yarn Yoshi? And I don't think he understood my question because he just, like, had a box and, I don't know, maybe he was just showing me more green Yarn Yoshis. I don't know.
Just, like, trying to, like, just desperately look for the word for pink.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I was like, fuck, I
showing it to
pink.
Him on your phone.
I should have done that. I really should have done that. Like, pink Yarn Yoshi would have been better than a Pikachu for sure.
Was there any presence of the games that we would look at as more Western? Like, you know, did you see any ads for The Division? Did you see any, like, Halo shit? Like,
no, I mean, ads. Like, yeah, no, you know? Ads. I did go into a couple of stores that were just selling modern games. Dark Souls 3 was there, but that's Japanese. Fallout was there and stuff, but no major ads. They didn't feel like it was it was being heavily marketed towards.
Yeah.
And again, Akihabara is basically like Times Square, but for nerdy anime stuff.
Yeah.
It is overwhelmingly anime stuff. Capcom has a big presence like in ads and stuff, but it's mostly for their like arcades. Like pachinko machines, presumably.
You see any Konami fitness clubs?
I didn't see any Konami fitness clubs. I did see, the weirdest thing that I saw was I saw a group of people that were in full body anime costumes, but we're talking like mask, like a Sailor Moon plastic
with like big
mask.
Big eyes and stuff.
With huge eyes. I think they were in arms locked with some man who was leading them. So I presume I presume he or she behind the mask couldn't see through the mask. But wander what off. Was creepy was not the costume itself, which was, of course, the Sailor Moon costume, or the mask, which looked as though they had somehow took an anime character, created them in real life, and then skinned them alive to wear their flesh as a disguise. They were wearing plastic gloves and were wearing skin-toned leggings and sleeves all the way up to the hands. So everything was completely covered.
To make it seem like the skin tone of the anime character.
Yes, 100% correct. With like plastic hands. Really unsettling. Really deeply unsettling. Especially because this was not in Akihabara. This was in Kyoto near like a shrine. Like, I don't know what they were doing out there. Pretty unsettling. But for the most part, you know, all that stuff was as expected.
What was like kind of the travel experience like when you were figuring out like when you're because you were playing some games, you had your DS and stuff.
Yep. Yeah. No shame. Playing that. Like, yep.
And you said that when you were Fire seeing Emblem people. Fate. Okay. I was gonna say like what did you play when you were traveling?
Yeah, I was playing Fire Emblem Fates, the Birthright, the new one.
That's fitting. Fire Emblem's huge in Japan.
I don't think anybody was. I think they're finished. I think they're done. I think they played it because
I think we are on a delay though. Like I think America gets them all after.
Oh, I think
like,
they probably played that game like a year ago. Yeah. So I was playing that. I did. So Fire Emblem does have a Street Pass feature, and I did Street Pass a few people. I presume who were Japanese playing the game, but other than that, I think it was just passing other tourists.
Do you get to like add them to your army or something?
Yeah,
like
you
that?
Could exactly right. You could see and like fight them and take their army and stuff.
Man, that's so strange.
Yeah.
Did you see any like interesting console type? Actually, you know what? Forget the consoles for a second. Was there any sign of like a PC market? Because I always associate Japan with consoles.
There was actually. So in Akihabara, in addition to all of the weird anime stuff that you can buy, it's also just a general like technology area. Yeah. So you can buy cameras and computer parts and stuff. There were several stores that not only were just selling computer parts, but were clearly like dedicated gaming computer. Go in and buy the entire machine, and you would go and test it. And I think weirdly enough, some of them were playing like some tank game, like World of Tanks or something like that. On the PCs.
Was there any 3D shit in Japan?
I didn't see any 3D
stuff. Sorry, VR stuff.
I didn't see any VR stuff. So those PCs were like ready to go, and so clearly that people are still catering towards that PC gaming market, because that was like prime real estate, right?
It was in the middle, in the stores.
VR is a good point though, because all that shit is
That's what I was thinking. Like, I mean, it was right during the rollout of all that stuff, which I imagine. I mean,
well, has it been localized? Like, even the menus and stuff.
That's what I was wondering. Like, I mean, I'm sure there's Steam in Japan, so like that stuff must be. But
yeah.
But the other thing is, I mean, that stuff just came out, so it probably. I mean, most of it hasn't even shipped to American pre-orders, consumers, let alone you know. Did you get in a sense of any MOBA action over there?
I watched TV, and there was a League of Legends commercial on TV for like a major event. Now, my understanding is that
a televised broadcast
of, I presume, their summer finals.
Yeah,
I know for a fact that Japan and League of Legends, like, it's not the biggest game in Japan. Not
I mean, you
in the
hear
way
things
that,
like China is much bigger
China
into
and Korea,
MOBAs.
Yes, absolutely. And, right. So I don't know if the market hasn't made money inroads, but I will say, I've never seen an ad for League of Legends on American television.
For sure.
So I presume that that's a pretty telltale sign of the MOBA market picking up some speed in Japan.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it seems even more interesting in Japan because I always think of Asia in my head as somewhere where MMOs do better.
Yeah.
Like, there's just way more MMOs in Korea than there, you know, and they do way better.
And mobile MMOs and all sorts of stuff, yeah.
And so the MOBA, to me, is like that's a good challenge because it's like in America it seems like it's a bit easier to capture that audience, but there's just so much more to compete with over there. I am interested to see Riot like being more aggressive. It's like this has to be on TV.
Well, I think that Riot has only launched a Japanese dedicated server within the past year, at least. It could be even within the past 6 months.
Wow.
So they're only sort of getting it in terms of like a good consistent bandwidth for playing. It'd be interesting to see what sort of inroads they can make in there. But again, if you know, if it is a very handheld focused market, then how many people have access to it.
You know, every once in a while, something pops up on, like, the iTunes store. It's, like, you know, a mobile game that's a MOBA.
Yeah.
And I think the... I think that just has huge potential, and maybe I've just never played one that has clicked with me, but the idea that you can play a MOBA-esque experience for like 5 to 10 minutes seems like a huge opportunity.
Yeah, if it was like turn-based or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially in a country that has such good wireless coverage.
Oh, yeah. How was that internet over there?
I mean, it was fine. It was great. And, a lot of people use pocket Wi-Fi at home, and they just carry it around with them during the day as well. Yeah. So people have pretty fast internet on the go.
Yeah. Well, was there anything that was like extremely surprising that you like that you weren't expecting?
I mean, there's always like weird cultural things, right? Yeah. That like you don't see or don't get in like RPGs and stuff. Let's see. They wait a very long time for lights to change. Like, the crosswalk is, like, accounted. It's about a minute and a half for most crosswalks. That seems ludicrous to me, like, in the States. And no one jaywalks. Nobody jaywalks. Yeah. I mean, very few people jaywalk. Yeah. We live in a city where people... Like, I jaywalked to get here, probably,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of incredible.
It's like an Earthbound. So jaywalking those cars might go
exactly,
right up to.
Yeah. I did go... So I went to an art gallery that is inside an old junior high school in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that schools have wash time where all the kids go and clean up their shit. Like there's sinks and stuff in every hall so that everybody can clean together. And they don't have like janitors.
Oh.
Which is interesting. And I guess I'd never seen that in a game before.
Yeah.
But other than that, the schools were like eerily familiar to, you know, what you would expect
right.
from those RPGs.
That's funny, the little quirks, like the little minutiae.
Yeah.
And you see that every once in a while and you kind of write that off as like, oh, well, they needed to like pad Shenmue with more of this
exactly,
stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, wait, there's like maybe some cultural resonance to doing
totally,
this.
Totally, yeah.
You know, or like in a game like No More Heroes or something, like
mm-hmm.
there's some cultural relevance to, you know, doing these kind of small tasks.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, totally. The food was good. I did have that like endless meat dimension bowl.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, did you enter the meat dimension?
Oh, like... I am the meat dimension at this point. It was insane. Yeah, you know, like I said at the beginning, it's interesting to go to a place that in a weird way feels familiar.
Mm.
I kind of wish we could get more of that from different cultures, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I've played any game that's set in, like, Brazil. I guess Papuyo. Is that Brazilian?
Well, it's kind of pan-South American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's just a few games that I feel so wholly embrace
yeah.
the cultural experience in the way that certain RPGs do.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of cool. And
I mean, I guess also not to like, well, okay, whatever. Let's make sweeping cultural generalizations. Like, I think like the only other time that I've felt something similar is where you have a country that has been historically, culturally fairly like homogenous or at least kind of cut off.
Yeah.
Like if you go to the UK,
mm-hmm.
like there's like a very strong feel where
it's an island country.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, oh, I feel like I'm kind of walking around in a Lionhead game right now.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like this yeah. could be something out
or
of
the way that the way that certain video games feel Canadian.
Super polite.
Super polite.
All NHL every single game.
Like, oh,
man,
sorry.
This is Canada.
Sorry.
But I mean, I feel like there's something to that where you have such a strong and also kind of like you have a separate kind of culture that has gone through periods where you have had real political movements that have purposefully cut it off
yes.
from the rest
yeah.
of the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and so
sure.
I mean, I feel like maybe that's even an easier way to communicate that in a piece of art like a game, because you can sum up certain aspects of it without worrying about, okay, like, you know, like try to make a game about the Middle East, right?
Yeah.
Like that's nothing but cultural like heterogeneity.
Right.
Whereas a country like Japan has gone through times where it's like, no, we're not letting anyone dock here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like this is just our country.
Well, and they're unique in that they had a sort of industrial and commercial rise
yeah.
before a lot of other countries did and then branched off in different cultural ways
yeah.
and engaged in video games in that way. Right.
Yeah.
So people are making games. And if anything, this is to say maybe we have enough Japanese games in praise of more weird cultural experiences from different game makers from around
yeah.
the world, right? Because we have things that are like Persona 4 and I feel like, oh, I'm in a Japanese school. And while yes, of course, it's definitely crazy and different, culturally, Japan is very different. And it's interesting to feel totally enmeshed in that. That isn't to say we shouldn't localize like Japanese games at all, or, you know, I'm not demanding that DOA 3 come to the States or whatever.
Sign my petition.
But, but what I will say is I think that there's something to say for the value of playing anything or watching anything that is just so pointedly embedded in a different cultural experience.
I mean, that's why we like, you know, playing something like Stalker or something where it's like, oh man, this is a game from Russia. You know?
Well,
like,
it's perfectly timed too. So right before I left, I was reading a boss fight book on Chrono Trigger. And the author there taught in Japan for a while. And he talks a little bit about like the gender and sexuality in Chrono Trigger, which is very like homogenous and very like heteronormative. And it's tough to be gay in Japan even today. And it's really interesting to see the different ways that those cultural experiences that we saw growing up like do have such a strong foundation in the culture of Japan. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, maybe there's a few French examples. I don't know if like Remember Me feels...
You see them every once in a while. Like, I mean, but it's just because there was that time in like the 80s and 90s where like every big game we were playing was coming out of Japan. We just have like a unique perspective. Like, you know,
well, like at one point even I did go to a like an onsen, the hot baths or whatever. And it's just so like, funny
I'm
because
feeling refreshed.
Like, I remember playing Lunar a long time ago. And one of the like challenges in the game is figuring out how to get to every bath scene. And no joke, as like the day after I use the onsen, I'm playing Fire Emblem and I build an onsen and then I go take a bath, like in the steam bath, and I accidentally bump into a dude like as my female Fire Emblem character. And I'm like, this is so Japanese and I'm in Japan and it's amazing.
I mean, I'm glad that your years of dating sim games. And
I brought back a hatful boyfriend from Japan.
And you're
not Japanese, right? That game, I think the game is American.
I mean, it is a I don't know what it is, but it is definitely a take off of the Japanese
more pigeon sim. More pigeon games is what I'm trying to say.
Did you find your fox spirit that you were
my kitsune? Kitsune. I did go to a fox temple and there was a bunch of like fox things everywhere.
Oh man, that's great. Well, it's super interesting to hear about that stuff. It's a place that I plan on going one day, but and it's one of those things where I've always wondered, man, like will it be like that? That and weird the '80s and '90s vision in my head of like
the answer is yes. Where else can you buy Yo-Kai Watch toilet paper, Scott?
I don't know, but like I can't use this. Like I have to like enshrine this now until I go to Japan, and I'm gonna bring an extra suitcase.
And you're shitting in like a bamboo forest.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna bring an extra suitcase. And bring as many rolls back.
Well, by then you're gonna have like the next hot thing, toilet paper. You know,
you're telling me Yo-Kai Watch is bad.
Like what I genuinely want one day in your like 60s is the lining of your room to be covered in different video game toilet themed toilet papers from around the world.
Every era. Oh yes, 2025 was a good year.
I wonder. I mean, that's a good question. I wonder if there are like Chrono Trigger toilet papers we can buy online.
I need my fucking Robo toilet paper.
I mean, how much could you sell Earthbound toilet paper for on eBay?
Oh man,
with like Ness on there and like
priceless.
Oh my god, that'd be so good.
Fucking man, like God, I would. Oh man. I would fly over to Japan just to get that.
There you go. There you go.
All right, everyone. Hopefully you enjoyed our travelogue by proxy. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our website. You can visit us for free. No plane tickets required. Just leave us a star rating on iTunes and Stitcher.
You will have to upload your passport to us.
So. That's true. Yeah, we're going to need a photo scan of your passport.
Sorry. All right, everyone. Until next week, thank you for listening. We will talk to you soon.
Bye. Yeah.